it's a little known thing that typically when a peace agreement is signed, the number of accidents actually goes up rather than down as people return to areas that they left because the fighting was taking place or heading their way, and then they return to encounter the contamination that was left behind. So that's what the strategy is all about. It recognises the limited capacity of the government to take action in this field, and we very much felt it was relevant, achievable, and pragmatic.
Great. Just before we talk about ANMA's support for this particular strategy, how important is this strategy in tackling issues of landmines in the country?
It's important in as much as the strategy bonds all actions, keeps everybody on a common path, and it's very important for the donor community to know what the government is trying to achieve and how it's trying to go about achieving it. It's one thing to have a plan. It's another thing entirely to actually share that plan and lay it open for public review. So I think it's more important than many people would give it credit for. It shows that the government is committed. It shows they're taking an interest, and it shows where they prioritize. And that, for us, is important. We need to know what the important areas are, and for the NGO community, so they can get on and support.
Yes, and for ANMA, the United Nations Mine Action Service in South Sudan, I mean, what support are you going to give particularly to this strategy?
Well, first off, we'll talk about the support we've already given. We went out and found some support, some financial support, to bring in a consultant, which was very generously donated by the government of Japan, and that allowed us to bring in a consultant to work with all stakeholders, talk through the issues, and agree what the priority should be, and then define it within the strategy. So that's the work that's already been done. What are we doing going forward? Well, on the advocacy front, we continue to lobby for the government to sign up to the respective treaties. They have signed the Convention on Anti-Personnel Landmines. Cluster munitions is going through Parliament at the moment. There's also the Convention on certain conventional weapons, which should be signed in our opinion. And we get around the world on the key international platforms advocating for support for South Sudan. So that's what we do on advocacy in terms of defining the contamination. I think that's probably where our greatest contribution comes in. We are working with support from UNMISS to deploy teams to go out, survey and clear areas, and really get a very tight grip on how big the actual contamination is in this country. And the good news is that at current rates of clearance, if the peace holds, if our clearance teams are given access to all areas, then it's not unrealistic to believe that all known minefields and cluster strikes could be cleared within 3 to 5 years.
Let's talk about the demolition that happened last Friday and Saturday. Just a brief on where and what they found, how it threatened civilians. Just give us a brief on that.
Right. In many ways, it's just a routine task. In other ways, it's quite special. In recent weeks, we became aware of a task in an area called Jebel Kunyu, about 1 kilometer from UN House, where locals were troubled by some obvious unexploded ordnance lying on the surface. We sent a team out to have a look at this and clear the immediate hazards. They did some searching and recognized that there was actually quite a bit of buried ammunition as well. Since then, in fact, just in last week alone, our team have recovered 1.2 tons of explosive ammunition and about 15,000 bullets.
Sounds like a really big number.
And there's more to come. Well, to put it in perspective, if we were to blow 1.2 tons in a single demolition, that would have a safety distance of about 1,400 meters for the shrapnel. And UN House is about 1,000 meters from this site. So it is quite a large amount of ammunition, and there is no convenient place to destroy it close to where it is, so we ended up taking it quite far out of town, about 2 hours out of town, to mm-hmm. a demolition range that we use where it could be destroyed safely.
Now, just before I let you go, tell us more about the UNMAS continuous work for making areas safe in South Sudan. How is your work going so far?
Well, I think it's going very well. As I said, we've put a focus on defining the actual contaminated areas. We have a database of all known tasks. We've been working to refine that. Just over a year ago, our contamination database indicated there was 93 square kilometers of clearance left to do. Mm-hmm. 1 year later, we're down to 39 square kilometers. We've now know of 121 cluster strikes, 33 battlefields, and 212 minefields to go. Put that into comparison, over the last 5 years, we've cleared 568 minefields, 236 cluster strikes. So it's very reasonable if we look back at what we've achieved in the last few years and look mm-hmm. at what we know of the existing contamination now, to suggest, well, actually, we've done that twice over in the last 5 or 6 years.
Great.
So we're quite well placed.
Great. So finally, what will be your final message or remarks that you would like to send out there to those who are listening to us?
Very simply, if you come across an item of ordnance, a mine, or anything that you even suspect as being hazardous, mm-hmm. please call us on 092-001-055, and we'll send somebody out to deal with it. Don't deal with it yourself.
Thank you. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.